Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 277, episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. Hey, who's that?
Hey.
This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it's Tuesday, February 28th, 2023. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. I don't know if you've heard of JC, but you never possessed the Holy See. No Radcliffe, no magic, no yogis. My boss is the motherfucking P-O-P-E. That is courtesy of Salvador Jolly in reference to the new Russell Crowe joint in which he is the Pope's exorcist and gets to utter the line, if you got a problem with me, take it up with my boss, the Pope, which I'm trying to make my own new catchphrase. I'm trying to absorb that into my life. Well, I'm thrilled to be joined by a very special guest co-host, one of the very faces on Mount Zeitmore, an Emmy-nominated writer, artist, comedian, behind many acclaimed podcasts, author of the upcoming New York Times bestseller, I'm Gonna Manifest It Into Existence, Raw Dog, it's Jamie Loftus!
Woo! Minion time! Jamie will take over the Daily Zeitgeist. Dominion Geist, say Bolo and banana. Look, I think it's fun. I think it's fun. I think it may have been so long that I haven't even been able to really fully talk minions on the Daily Zeitgeist.
It's been way too long. It's been that long that you haven't been able to fully talk about the rise of Gru. Yeah.
Oh, the rise of Gru. Yes, and that I'm legally married to Kevin Le Mignon. There's just been so much going on.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. Hi, Jack.
I'm so excited to have you. Thank you so much for being here. It's so wonderful to have you. Did you say Dominion time at one
Dominion
point?
Dominion time. Yes, yeah. Jurassic Park Dominions.
Okay. I was just wondering, like, that was the first time that I realized that the Minions were behind the Dominion voting scandal. Like, isn't that the name of the voting machines? Like,
yes,
how am I the first person to write this conspiracy theory? Come on, QAnon.
And, I mean, they work for the most evil master, you know, available at the time.
Come on.
I just love that in Minion world, they have an elaborate reason for why the Minions had no ties to World War II. You're like, oh my God. They were living in a frozen cave then, Jack.
Of course they were. Yeah.
Yeah, for both of the World Wars. So relax.
Yeah. That, I mean, I can't relax when it comes to the main. What were they up to? And if they should have tried harder to get out of the frozen cave, like, I mean.
Did they get the news? Did they just, did they sit one out? We don't know.
They're in supervillain circles, like, throughout all their existence, and then just didn't even know this was coming. Like, come on.
They're out by the 60s, though. So you kind of, I guess we just need to wait for the next movie to find out what they were up to during the Gulf War. I don't know.
Yeah. 9/11, the Gulf War. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
There's a lot
They were the architects of all that CIA, like, false information.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Wasn't it yellow cake uranium that was used to false? Yellow. Interesting. I'm just connecting dots that are there. I'm not adding anything to this. Anyways.
No, you're just stating facts.
I'm stating facts. I'm doing my own research. We are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the author of the new book, Overthinking About You, about the intersection of dating and mental health. You know her from Just Between Us. It's the brilliant and talented Allison Raskin!
Oh, wow.
What's up?
Thank you for having me. I did not know any of that about the Minions.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. What?
I haven't seen a single one. I haven't seen a Despicable Me. I haven't seen a Minion movie. I don't know about this rich history.
Oh,
there's so much going on.
And troubling.
It's contradict. Yeah. Jack, have you seen them all because of your kids, or are you just watching?
I have, but like not in order. It's like I'll walk in for a scene here and there, usually, like if the kids are watching a movie, it's an opportunity to like go get adult things done. So, but I've been sucked in for entire chunks of the Minion movie.
What is adult things? Do you like go watch Meet Joe Black or something?
Just constantly paying bills, just bills stacking up on my desk and then just mailing them out the door with a real harried look on my face. Yeah. Yeah. No, I go watch Meet Joe Black.
I don't know. That's like the most adult movie I can think of.
Got adult things to do, kids. Like the true love between the Grim Reaper and somebody who met the Grim Reaper, although it's not clear.
Some lady? I actually have never seen Meet Joe Black. My parents had it, and it was two VHS tapes. So I was like, damn, that's grown-up hours.
Were you kind of like walking into the room to make sure that they were occupied and then going to do kid stuff? Was it like a reverse of how I treat my kids? You were just like...
I needed to make sure I was good to go watch Pinocchio. And you can watch... That's like you can watch Pinocchio 3 times in the runtime of Meet Joe Black.
That's true. Meet Joe Black is very long, and my dad really loves it.
Oh,
like has given, like he doesn't give me heartfelt soliloquies about much, but he has been like, that Meet Joe Black is a hell of a film.
Someone had to say it. He may be the first.
Someone did. Allison, how are you doing? Where are you coming to us from?
I'm in rainy Los Angeles, so
I know.
It's
what
really
is going on.
Don't know how to function. Overwhelmed by the wetness. It's been rough.
We're just like we're not built for it. And then every time it comes up for people who live in cities that get snow, they're like, oh, shut the fuck up. You're like, okay, but it's raining and it's actually really hard for us. We're not built for it.
It just falls apart right away. Like, so it started raining hard Friday night and one of the traffic lights in my neighborhood went down. A car immediately like sped through that intersection, knocked over a like telephone electric pole, like knocked out power and internet to our entire neighborhood for the whole weekend.
This is just rain. Yeah, my friend had another one where somebody hit a pole and then she lost power and she had to stay at my house for a night.
Yeah.
But it's funny that it's not just the weather, it's people driving into poles seems to be a main cause of the issue.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
I didn't see that part coming.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Just right away, there's a knocked over telephone pole. The trees are getting knocked over too, which I'm a little confused by. I think just the wind, climate change. I'm not sure. That's what I That's my catchphrase. The wind, climate change. I'm not sure.
That and the Pope is your boss. Yeah, I mean, leave it to the Pope. Pope is going to figure it out.
All right, Allison, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about today. We're talking about there were like two big COVID stories that were like revised over the weekend or over the past week. Like one in the New York Times that was like, masks don't work at all. Like never at all have they worked. And that is a fact. And then another that in the Wall Street Journal that claimed that they now have like, it was like breaking news. We now have like evidence that COVID was caused by a lab leak in Wuhan. And yeah, it just feels like there's a, and then Woody Harrelson's SNL monologue was like a weird anti-vax rant.
It was?
So,
yeah, like I'm not, I watched that show and I like it.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Big
what
fan.
Okay, well, I guess we'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there. I mean, it wasn't like a full-on anti-vax rant, but like he had this long, like...
It was weird.
This long, like, story in the middle of it. Yeah, so we'll talk about that. It just feels like things, like, in what's supposed to be the center are moving right in a weird way. So we'll talk about that. We will, of course, talk about Cocaine Bear, which also, according to our writer JM, may be the ultimate pandemic movie.
Ooh. I've never seen a concept for a movie I would want to see less. Perhaps.
Whoa.
And maybe that's because I know the bear dies. Like,
oh, right.
I don't want to watch a movie about an animal. And even if the animal's doing bad things and then the animal dies, like, no, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like the animal is very fun.
I'm trying to think. Know. My reaction was quite the opposite.
Yeah, it's having fun like, before it goes out. But yeah, I can sympathize. I guess my mind didn't immediately go to like, aw, buddy.
I have to know before I watch anything if any animals die in it. Because if they do, I have to opt out.
So no John Wick.
No, I've never been able to see a single John Wick movie. Because even though I hear they're excellent, because I know that the central... you know, act the catalyst moment is his dog dying. So it's a no for me.
It's devastating.
It's a no for me. But before we get to any of that shit, Allison, we do like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
A lot of my search history is like what my dogs can and cannot eat. So a more recent one.
Cocaine.
Was,
is that okay?
Yeah,
it seems like it's okay based on this movie. It seems like dogs get really good at jumping. Would be my guess.
I recently Googled, can dogs have sparkling water?
Mm.
And what do you think was the answer? What would your guess be?
No too spicy.
My guess would be yes, and it will be hilarious to watch them react to it.
So it was, they can have it in small amounts if there's no flavoring.
Okay.
So you can't have any kind of flavored sparkling water. But in a pinch, I guess they can have a little bit. But it seems like, it also seemed funny. They were like, and some picky drinkers might be intrigued by the bubbles. Okay.
You're on a slippery slope there where your dog's like, Perrier, please. Yes.
Did dogs like it?
I don't know. I've never tried. Now I'm a little curious. But I personally hate it. So I have this, I've never liked sparkling water of any kind. And that's deeply upsetting to everybody in my life.
Mm. So you were thinking about going out to buy, like acquire some sparkling water for your dog. Like it wasn't a thing you had laying around and were like sipping on it. And the dog was looking at you and you were like, oh, maybe. It was like a thing where you were like, I feel like they might really fuck with sparkling water. Let me look into this.
No, my fiance is a big fan, and he asked the question, and I did the Google.
Mm. Okay,
that's true teamwork.
Yeah, that's partnership.
That is partnership. What is something you think is overrated?
Okay, so we're planning our wedding, and so that obviously gets you thinking about a lot of like these traditions around that. And something that I, even before this process, has found to be overrated is a formal thank you card.
Mm.
I think it is really annoying for the people to do who are writing them out, especially after a big event. And then I think most people read them for 1 second and throw them out.
Right.
So I'm more of a fan of a text, a quick text, thank you. But a formal thank you card, I don't know. I'm wondering if as a society we can sort of start to leave that behind.
So I've recently received one from a couple for an engagement party, and they took a video. It was very charming, and like they, you know, them just expressing their heartfelt thanks, and you know, it seemed like it took less time than like writing a thing out. And then we just attempted it yesterday because it was my 5-year-old's birthday, and so we were like, well, we don't want to go through the trouble of having him, you know, us writing the cards and then painstakingly getting him to write his name out and like a couple words. So we did videos after he opened it and was like super excited about the gift, and it worked really well. Like I think little videos are a fun alternative. Also probably a little taxing,
especially from kids.
Yeah, from kids, definitely fun.
Oh wow. So then that's how do you get them the video? Is it in an email? Is it a handwritten
email
card
or text.
With a URL?
Just a text or, yeah,
that
email.
Makes sense. I like that. So an update on it.
Yeah.
I love
Jamie,
that.
We did go to Chuck E. Cheese for his birthday party.
I know, but I'll pretend to learn again.
What?
Yes, I'm so excited. I saved a couple of questions for you for on my.
Yeah.
So yeah. You said that the one you went to, there's no more band, but there is one Chuck. There's the one
there
Chuck.
There is an animatronic Chuck. And when you enter and the lights are all, because like it's, we did a thing where you go in before it opens up and like have like the video games to yourself.
Ooh,
but you also get a
tier Chuck
Elite tier Chuck experience. The couture Chuck E. Cheese experience. But when you when you enter and there are no lights on, his eyes are like black holes and it.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Upsetting. Yeah, it looks like a character from one of those medieval paintings that's just like them going nuts on like the idea of a punishing god. They're just like this what circle of hell. Yeah.
How did the kids react to the animatronic? Did they ignore it? Did they engage with it?
Completely ignored it.
Well, not to call your child and their friends disgusting, but what a missed opportunity, and what a lost generation.
I was trying to get attention to it. I was like, you know, doing a little dancing over by it and being like, it's talking, kind of.
Check this out.
Check it out. His mouth wasn't moving, but his hands were in a way that was completely dissociated from his voice. But it was close enough that you could kind of tell that that's what was supposed to be happening.
That is something that bugs me. I mean, the top two Chuck E. Cheese things that bother me right now, it's always changing. Yeah. But
your list is constantly updating.
Is that people, they're like, well, did you know his middle name's Entertainment? I was like, all right, call me in 2014. And that's when I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
And the other, his middle name is Entertainment.
Jamie's a connoisseur.
That's what the E is for.
I don't think I've ever been to a true Chuck E. Cheese.
And now you can't. That's the problem. You can't go. All the animatronic bands are gone. Even the Chuck E. you're describing, which is a mid-2000s model after he's already been changed from a rat to a mouse that skateboards.
Yeah.
He's already got the voice of the guy from Bowling for Soup, so it's already a lesser experience. He used to smoke. He used to smoke a big fat cigar, but now...
Did he really?
Oh, yeah. Early Chuck E. was the band leader. He played no instruments. He just yelled at the band. He didn't even
sing.
James
Brown style. Yeah.
he was an MC. He smoked a big cigar. He was a rat and he ran a casino. And that was what happened.
He's still giving rat, by the way, because of the color. Of, like his fur is like a dirty gray. It looks like every rat I've ever encountered. And that's what you get from him.
The vibe Chuck E. should be giving should be like if he was in your house, you would kill him. Not yeah, you would make him your pet.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
Now, are you saying that you don't like the lead singer from Bowling for Soup? Because that's one of my favorite bands of all time.
No, I'm glad that he's getting those Chuck E. checks. I think it's more just like they made Chucky so friendly when he used to be a little hostile. And I kind of liked when he was a little hostile. I don't even remember when he was hostile, but I've watched so many hours of video.
Yeah.
Anyways, Pasquale is the best character. Did you see any Pasquale?
No Pasquale. I don't think so. I don't know who Pasquale is, to be honest with you.
He's the one human at Chuck E. Cheese. He's an Italian pizza chef, but he also plays the drums.
Oh, okay.
And he does stand-up comedy.
No Pasquale that I saw at all, unfortunately. Well, pizza's still very good. They have shifted into a new thing where it's like very needy, and they open the announcement that Chuck E. Cheese is going to come out by like running a PSYOP where they're like, attention, someone's car is parked in the loading zone. They like read off a fake license plate number. I thought it was real, but then like they accidentally played the recording a second time and it happened again like 20 minutes later. So they just have that as a thing that I think is designed to get everyone's attention and get everyone to like shut the fuck up so Chuck can do his thing. But the most noticeable kind of dissonance is between how excited they want you to be for the arrival of Chuck E. Cheese, the person in the Chuck E. Cheese costume, and how like uninterested everybody is in it. And
no!
Then like kind of their knowledge that is also the case. Like the people who work there are just kind of like, yeah, kind of going through the motions, unfortunately. But it was a blast. I do recommend a Chuck E. Cheese birthday party.
I wonder how much time we have left with Chuck and friends.
They seem to have reinvented themselves as just like an arcade, which isn't a thing that really exists in most places anymore.
That's
and
true.
So kids call like arcades Chuck E. Cheese's and the in the 5-year-old set. So yeah, I think they did a smart thing. Got rid of the ball pits, unfortunately, with COVID. But
yeah, it was the easiest way to. You would get so sick. It didn't. Who knows how many diseases could be contracted.
Right. Yeah. The balls at the bottom of the ball pit were presumed. I hope that when they got rid of the ball pits, those were donated to science just to be like, what has been growing in here?
Yeah, there's new species.
Yeah, absolutely. Allison, what is something you think is underrated?
So I'm a very picky eater, and something I've realized that I haven't been eating enough of because it is delicious and lovely is melon. I think melon has a really bad rap. A lot of times when you're like, oh, I'll have a side of fruit, people will be like, what kind of fruit? And when people say melon, they go, ugh. But good melon is really lovely, and it's harder to get, I feel, like gross melon. Like when I buy berries are so expensive, and then they're like moldy in one day or like taste disgusting. Where like you buy a whole melon, you got fruit for days, less chances that it will be horrifying, a bad bite. So I'm really pro melon over here is my new thing.
And are you just chipping
the
off
melon you lobbyists bought you out?
Yeah, they have. For not much.
So you leaving the melon intact and then just like kind of chipping off pieces as you go? Do you cut the whole melon up and like just have it that way? Because yeah, I do feel like melons have a better shelf life than other like kind of fruit once you open them.
Yes.
Like I got all these half open bananas and they don't last well at all.
No.
I gotta say.
Oh God.
I think something that gets in the way of melon eating is that it seems like a lot of work. But if you sort of go into it and say, okay, now I'm gonna cut up my melon. You pre-cut it all up, then you have melon for days. It's already ready to go.
Yeah.
I like melon for days. That's that's enough to sell me on a melon. Yeah. I can't remember the last time I bought a melon. But I also, I don't know. I can't remember really the last time I bought produce that was like not disgusting.
Mm. But that's what I'm saying. Melon is a way around disgusting produce.
Mm-hmm.
And it's much more affordable.
And it's affordable.
So. Yeah.
And great names for the melons. Cantaloupe and honeydew are both well-named fruits, I have to say.
A lot of pun possibilities.
Are we including water in the melon family?
Definitely.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, of yeah. course.
Okay. Okay. I'm just checking, guys.
Of course, Jamie. Did you not read the notes that we got from the melon lobby? That this is all a way of pushing all melons.
Make sure to read the brand name next.
Yeah.
But I do think watermelon has a good rep, whereas yeah. honeydew and cantaloupe are the real underrated all-stars that need to be back in the circulation.
Mm, absolutely. Wrap a little wrap a little ham around that shit. Ooh, so good. I don't think that's... There's another word for it, for the ham that you're supposed to use, but...
Ham melon.
Prosciutto, yeah.
Yeah. do you guys have any ham melons that I could order for my appetizer?
And they're like, wow, this guy knows his
culture.
Stuff.
Yeah. Cultural force over here. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and we'll talk some COVID stuff. Cool?
No. Yes.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
And we're back. And there are two COVID stories that seem to be making the rounds from big mainstream media institutions, the New York Times, as well as the Wall Street Journal. And so first up, last week, there was a story from Bret Stephenson, who's like their trad Catholic columnist and has said like wild shit about like climate change and, you know, just dismissing it as like an activist thing. That's the thing that I'm noticing more and more popular in the mainstream is like, yeah. And sure, yeah. Climate activists will tell you that this is something to be worried about. But this time he came through with a story where he was quoting a study from Oxford that is basically like masks don't really work, or we don't, the study, like the actual abstract of the study was like, we don't have evidence that masks work. And when people who understand how studies work, like, dug into it. They were like, this is a study that should basically be read as there haven't been enough good mask studies, essentially. Like, that okay. was the conclusion that was drawn.
But that's not the Tradcath read.
That is not the Tradcath read. He
well, then
basically,
you need to take that up with your boss, the Pope, Jack. Like, this seems like a you problem.
It does. And, you know, but my quote is actually that if you have a problem with me, you can take that up with my boss, the Pope. I don't take things up with him. I'm actually scared of him.
Right.
But,
right.
Yes. Like, just the details of the studies are all examples where people, like, didn't have proper education on them, on, like, how to use them, or there was, like, no way to guarantee that they were using them with any sort of consistency. And so, like, basically the two scientific sides of the conversation are, like, masks work when used correctly and consistently, but mask mandates don't work because people don't actually, like, follow them. Versus masks work. So, of course, there should be mandates when you're trying to prevent the spread of disease. Like, there's never any scientist who's coming out and being like, masks themselves never work. And why are we even talking about this? But the way he, like, opens the article is there is just no evidence that masks make any difference. Full stop. And I don't know.
So wild. I'm getting a master's in psychology, and I'm in my research methods class. And so I couldn't be more prepared for this discussion. You know, you go into these classes and you're like, well, why would I even need to understand how to read a research study? Like, you know, but it's so true that, like, when people, like, write these, like, clickbaity articles off of these research studies, it's like they're pulling the wrong thing. They don't even understand what the study is saying. It's so easy to, like, trick people. But this one feels, like, especially egregious in that, like, the study itself wasn't even making the claims that, like, let alone, like, that this guy's making, where, like, some studies in themselves are just bad studies. And I think that was another big thing, is, like, we just haven't even had enough good studies on masks. Like, if anything, this should prove that we need to, like, spend more money researching masks so that people will believe it. But I also feel like even if we did those studies, people who don't want to believe in masks would be like, well, those are the fake studies.
Right.
Right. Which I totally agree is, like, complicated by a sort of fundamental misunderstanding that, like, not all studies are created equal. They're not all done as broadly. And how, I don't know, I feel like sometimes when, like, I'll go ahead and throw my own mother under the bus in this case. Like, if my mom's coming to me with, like, I saw a study, she'll talk about it as if it's, like, from the University of Good and Accurate Science. Like, right. Just like, it was studied, therefore it must be true, which I did at one time also. But then it's like, the more you look into it, it's like, sometimes studies are paid for by people who want certain results. The, you know, control groups can vary, and just, like, all this other stuff that is, like, more common knowledge now. But even so, this is, like, such a bad faith reading of a study that we don't even know how, like, well it was conducted. So it's like a hat on a hat issue, a little Pope hat on a Pope hat, if you will.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even a study about COVID, right? It was, like, done before COVID. And
yeah, a lot of the studies that were in the thing were from before COVID, or, like, right as COVID was happening, and people didn't have, like, any education on how to wear masks, or, like, they gave a huge chunk of the population of people, like, traveling to Mecca for the pilgrimage, like, a bunch of masks. And then they were like, and they actually got COVID more than the other people. But it was like they had no control, no understanding, no insight into, like, whether they were wearing them, like, if they were wearing them the entire 24 hours, which presumably they were not. And it was, like, not at a time when masking was particularly popular. So, yeah, it just it's a mess. It's, like, very complicated. And it just feels like there is this push in the center to, like, revise things so they're not complicated, and so that the government was wrong and doing it to because they were mean, like, because they're just mean, strict parents. Like, I don't know. I feel like they're working through some issues or something.
There's also just, like, this sense of like, well, if something is not 100% effective all of the time, no matter how I do it, then it's useless, right? Like, it's like, and you see that with like vaccines and boosters and all this stuff where it's like,
yeah,
you know, it's not like when you get in a car accident and you still get hurt, but you were wearing your seatbelt. You're not like, well, I'm never going to wear my seatbelt again. Like,
yeah.
Like, right? This expectation that like, well, if it doesn't work 100%, then it's totally made up. And stuff like this supports that, when like any basic understanding of like how germs are transmitted, masks are clearly doing something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The seatbelt was the metaphor that like letter to the editor used. Like it was universally like this article was panned by scientists. They were like, this is crazy. But yeah, they were like, so should we stop requiring like putting laws in place to wear seatbelts because sometimes people don't wear them properly and like get hurt as a result of that? Which, yeah, I think that's a good metaphor.
This is some minion shit. I mean, and also I don't know. There's still so many, like, I've seen a lot of immunocompromised people online being like, I'm once again being bullied for wearing a mask at the fucking airport. Like,
yes.
And this time it's like by people that probably wouldn't have been doing that 3 years ago. It's really, really bizarre to see that kind of shift.
Yeah, that seems to be like the aggressive behavior we're seeing, is not people being like, could you wear a mask? It's like helpful. It's people getting mad at people wearing a mask. And like just in my personal life, like that's what I've seen, is someone walking in and be like, why the fuck are we wearing masks, huh? And it's just like, gee, like what?
Like,
what? I just don't. And like it's kind of the same question I have for like a Bret Stephenson or, you know, any of these people who like work for these big, you know, centrist journalistic institutions. Is like, what do you think you're helping here by like trying to shame people for having suggested, like we know that they help people sometimes, so like what exactly is your angle here is kind of
right.
A question that comes up a lot.
It just seems like annoyance.
It's like a way for people not to feel bad about their choices, right? Because right. If masks don't work, then I don't have to feel bad that I'm not wearing a mask. And I think that that's really been, at least like, you know, my theory, like seeing, being like one of the last people I know that still masks, even though I'm surrounded by liberal minded people who took COVID very seriously at the beginning, to see them all sort of drop off on wearing masks. And I think it is like almost this exhaustion of like, I can no longer mentally tolerate the idea that I need to mask or that COVID is still real. And therefore, I have to believe that it's not. So then I won't do things that like are scientifically proven to help.
Yeah, this article was written because audiences want it to be true, essentially. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's also a Wall Street Journal article that was like, we now believe that COVID was like leaked by a lab in Wuhan and didn't come from the wet market. And it really, like, the headline really seemed to indicate that this was like settled. And then all of the follow-ups are like, this is still like an active debate where most of the evidence suggests like the actual, like the normal version of events that we got was the right one. Like all of the early cases seem to cluster around this wet market. And yes, there is a lab that would be a candidate for like leaking this sort of thing in Wuhan, but that doesn't mean that it happened that way. And even, and like the Wall Street Journal headline made it seem like this is settled, but then the report again that they were talking about, like, was, they were like, we suspect this with a very low level of certainty. but it just gets filtered back to being, yeah, we figured it out. Racists were right.
Well, it's like, and for those of us with brains that are so tiny, what is the ideological advantage of this being true versus the wet market?
You can blame China.
Yeah.
Okay. Just confirm.
China and Chinese people. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So that's what the Wall Street Journal is going to do today. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
That it was like China was working on this virus that got out of their lab. And so we can 100% put the blame on them and like their massive cover up of what happened. And it's interesting because this story keeps coming back, right? Like we had the Vanity Fair article a few months ago, and now it's like getting on Wall Street Journal. And it is this interesting thing of like, if it ends up being true, I'm very scared. Like I don't want it to be true, because then I think it will just lead to so much like racism and anti-Asian hate and like strained relations. And like, I much prefer that it just like was transferred from animals to humans at a wet market. Like that feels like a, you know, but then I'm sometimes like, oh, well, do I have to like allow for the possibility that this could be true since all these major news organizations keep talking about it?
Right.
But like they keep talking about it, but they have yet to prove it in any definitive way.
Yeah. Right. Like with the same level of accusatory, like baselessness that they did 3 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, like when you look at what scientists were warning about in like before COVID happened, like they were all about like, yeah, this zoological, like this leap from animals to humans is the most likely way that this is going to happen. And but when you look at like how it happens usually in like movies, like 12 Monkeys or something, like it's a like an evil scientist wanting to hurt people. And so I feel like there's something about that version of events that is just like, I don't know, like more narratively appealing, and the right is trying to like capitalize on that to drive up the racism industry. I don't know.
Well, then it also feels more preventable in the future, right? If it was just like this lab leak from a foreign government versus, oh, these diseases pass from animals to humans kind of naturally, and that's something that can like keep happening. It again is like a way to like feel safer or something. Yeah. Mm.
And then kind of tying it all together in the pop culture realm, Woody Harrelson's SNL monologue was this weird, rambling anecdote with a punchline that was basically just like that vaccine. So he was like the biggest drug cartel. He was like, imagine a world, or he said, I have a script where the biggest drug cartel in the world get together and buy up all the media and all the politicians and force all the people in the world to stay locked in their homes. And people can only come out if they take the cartel's drugs and keep taking them over and over.
No.
Who's going to believe that crazy idea? Yeah. He also like called himself a Marxist while he was like doing this, which...
Brett, that's I mean, I guess I don't know. I don't know much about the politics of Woody Harrelson, and I stand by not knowing that.
Right. That's a strong decision.
That is such like lazy word salad that, again, it's just like that's just like not someone you expect to hear that kind of bullshit from.
Yeah.
Very bizarre.
The whole monologue, I was like, who approved this? Like, who wrote this and approved it? Like, what did he just go rogue? It was like so... kind of like stumbling and strange. And Elon Musk being like, this was a great monologue. That's like, that to me is like,
just like, if you had any doubt about whether it sucked, right? There it is.
That's the new fear, I feel like, is like if Elon Musk will approve of what you've done.
Yeah. You're like, no.
I wanted so much more from him after I saw A Triangle of Sadness, when he was like a socialist boat captain who just like,
right.
who like has like coherent perspectives, but of course in America, like it's going to be more like somebody who's, you know, listened to too many episodes of Joe Rogan and that thinks that that makes him like a free thinker. But yeah, he has previously posted about the theory that 5G is exacerbating the COVID outbreak, and once signed up to co-star in a movie that was just like 12 Angry Men, but made by 9/11 truthers. So, I had the same reaction where I was like, not Woody. And it's like, oh, he's been, Woody's been Harrelsoning.
He's been Harrelsoning. His brain's been boiling in that big old head.
Yeah.
Well, that's a damn shame.
Yeah.
Also, the 12 Angry Men by 9/11 truthers does sound like a really solid 30 Rock fake thing.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. The world has turned into 30 Rock. Also, his dad is one of the suspects in the JFK assassination, like in a bunch of JFK assassination conspiracy theories.
Yeah, this is wild. Yeah. His dad like murdered a very famous judge.
Yeah.
Which is like a whole nother bananas backstory to Woody
Harrelson. Woody Harrelson is murder nepotism?
Yeah. That's right.
Wow.
That's wild.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm confused and I feel lost.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. But I do think that there is just an overall movement towards the right, like that's happening in the mainstream culture because the American like media and like the American sort of central ethos like rejects socialism as anything serious, anything that can be taken seriously. And so the other option is like leaning towards the right and like slowly moving everything towards the right. And so it just feels like people are still like, man, Trump's an idiot, right? But they're just these like tiny like baby steps that are being taken by what is supposed to be the center. And it's a fucking bummer. But I think probably is where things are headed more and more, unfortunately.
I wonder, like, on the set of Saturday Night Live, if there was, like, pushback that this was going to be their monologue, you know? Like, how does the cast and writers feel about that, that this show is becoming more moderated to the right and everything?
Yeah.
So, given the makeup of that room, I would assume that there is, but I don't really know where, like, the buck stops in that situation.
Like, Pedro Pascal's monologue from a couple weeks ago was clearly him just, like, telling a story that he tells to people because, like, it's charming in person. And, like, it's just, like, famous people telling their, like, famous people stories that everyone's charmed by. And so I wonder, like, if that is a genre of, like, monologue that they have of just, like, just let Woody get up there and do his thing. And in this case, it was ill-advised. But the studio audience was like, huh, like, even though there's like a giant sign that's like, clap, laugh, like blasting them in the face, you know, they were still kind of like, huh.
They still had their free will.
When there was ever a punchline, you could tell there was just like relief from the audience.
Yeah.
But that's like, oh, okay, this is, I'm meant to laugh here because they didn't sort of know what to do with the rest of it.
He's like, and I still smoke weed though. And everyone's like, yes!
Yes! Woo!
Yes,
that is what we like about you.
That's very countercultural in the year 2023.
Right. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little Cocaine Bear. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
And we're back. And so Cocaine Bear came out last weekend. I think it did pretty well. I actually don't know.
Yeah, it came out. It did well right behind Ant-Man 7 or whatever.
Right. The one that like made everybody just be like, I don't know, man, I'm out. Yeah.
We always think it's the one that says, makes people say, I don't know, man, I'm out. But then they're like, well, it made $1 billion. So
yeah,
you have to watch 7 more.
It is doing pretty well. Yeah. So Cocaine Bear debuted with 23 million. So that's pretty good. It's like, it seems like it's escaped the snakes on a plane curse, where it's like, if the internet loves the thing and says they're going to go see a movie, they actually won't. So you can just ignore it.
Mm.
It seems like they kind of got this one right by just making it super fun. So I still haven't seen it. JM, our writer, saw it.
Oh, I'm jealous.
And yeah. So first of all, I do just want to continue with. So JM argues that this whole thing is a metaphor for COVID and like the uncertainty around that and just like a thing happening that like our brains can't make sense of. I also just, so the Wall Street Journal, not to keep picking on the journal here, but they dropped a story on people, like an alert that was like, the true story behind Cocaine Bear is even crazier than the movie, which is a movie in which a bear ingests a bunch of cocaine and gets superpowers. Like, that's crazy.
What was wilder about it, according to the Wall Street?
Their explanation was that like part of the backstory is that they have the actual Cocaine Bear at this Lexington, Kentucky museum, the Lexington, Kentucky's Fun Mall,
which is an intriguing place. Having fun in super the title intriguing. Is very smart marketing.
Yeah, just a fun mall.
That's hopefully not a promise that backfires.
So it's just made up by some ad executives. So there was a bunch of cocaine dropped from a plane in Georgia. They found the cocaine and a bear next to it that had eaten some of the cocaine. And that is the extent of the story. And then two Kentucky ad execs were like, wouldn't it be funny if we took this taxidermy bear that we have and put it in our thing and said it was Cocaine Bear? And that is the story that the Wall Street Journal claimed is crazier than a bear actually ingesting pounds of cocaine and getting superpowers.
I mean, the Wall Street Journal, in addition to having a lot of bad journalism, they're also just fucking dorks. So, of course, they would think this boring ass story is more interesting than the plot of Cocaine Bear.
Yeah.
I do think that this this bear taxidermy in Kentucky is fun. It's wearing a little hat, and you can't take that away from the taxidermy.
And a red gold chain, which is fun.
Something that has changed about me recently is that I'm really into like seeing taxidermy in a public place. I'm like very ready for it. As long as it was ethically done. And I do ask every mall manager and every airport manager that has. But I've been to a couple airports recently that have taxidermy there, and I like it. And then I took a taxidermy class myself, and I liked it. It was fun.
Wow. What a turn for you.
Do you think finding a bear that overdosed on cocaine in the woods and then stuffing it, is that ethical?
Well, more depends on like what species the bear was. There's like a bunch of I've read a lot about taxidermy law. It depends on like what species the bear was. As long as it wasn't, killed to be stuffed, that's obviously like the biggest ethical issue. But if it died of natural causes or even cocaine causes, it just really can't be taxidermy causes.
Got it.
But I think taxidermy just like freaks a lot of people out, which is understandable. And you obviously shouldn't kill an animal specifically to stuff it.
Right.
But, you know, cocaine bear lives on in a way in the fun mall question mark. Maybe better places for it, but
right.
maybe not. That's fun. Yeah. I'm open to being taxidermied.
Okay. All right. Any particular airport that you want to see yourself displayed at?
I think Logan International at the JetBlue terminal would be good.
Oh, you had that answer ready to go.
Near the legal seafoods. In the legal seafoods, if possible.
If possible. And what would the display, like what would be happening in the, during the display? Like what would you be teaching? Would you be podcasting? Would you be
pretty similar to Cocaine Bear.
Cocaine? Yeah.
I would be, yeah, I'd be wearing a hat and a gold chain.
Yeah.
Sunglasses.
Look like someone who partied too hard.
Yeah, exactly. I'd like to really get a retroactive party girl personality when I die.
Yeah, that is fun. Yeah, Elizabeth Banks has said that she responded to the script because she read it at the beginning. So Elizabeth Banks is the director, and she read the script at the beginning of the pandemic and thought that, quote, there was no greater metaphor for the chaos that we were all feeling in 2020 than a bear high on cocaine, which I do think that this has to happen, right? We've been talking about how, like, during the Iraq War, the second Iraq War, like, nobody was really seeing movies about the Iraq War, but, like, everybody was watching, like, these torture porn movies and then, like, fast zombie movies. Mm-hmm. And, like, so I don't know if like drug crazed animal is going to be the next like version of that we use to like deal with our complicated, unacknowledged angst around the pandemic. But there seems to be like an argument for it. I think I'm going to have to see the movie to fully understand like what exactly it is about it that is evoking COVID. But
I think it's like the unpredictability.
Right.
Like, I've never dealt with a bear on cocaine before. What do I do to protect myself?
Right. Yeah, yeah. Do you run away? Do you lie down? Like, if you climb a tree, like, bears can't climb trees, right? Oh, wait, when they're on cocaine, they actually can, according to this movie.
But I mean, in real life, the bear just immediately died, it seemed like.
Just died, yeah.
That was really sad.
I know.
Yeah. I would also watch the Sundance sleeper hit about the bear that eats cocaine and just dies sadly.
Right.
It's more of a family drama. Right. I honestly haven't seen it yet. I'm going to see it this week. But I don't know. Like, I've this movie and a couple different movies that have done well recently, just I feel like it's like these feel like depression movies, basically. Mm-hmm. We're like movies that don't have anything to do with anything really, and they're just like fun and distracting, and they're just like big goofy movies that are about whatever. Like I felt the same way about like and that's not to say that genre of movie can't be saying something, and like I take Elizabeth Banks at her word there, but it's like the same thing with like Megan, like did incredibly well recently, and like that does have like some commentary, but it's mostly just like I want to see the robot dance and kill someone in an elevator, and that would make me feel good on a Tuesday night to distract from the world falling apart. I like that genre of movie. I'm glad Cocaine Bear people are liking it.
Yeah, Megan is truly at its best when she's dancing and just like putting on cool sunglasses. It's really a lot of fun.
I saw a very online video on Twitter of Megan dancing to the Ariana DeBose rap. She's doing flips to Angela Bassett Did the Thing. It was very exciting.
The internet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so at least the Wall Street Journal totally fucking up reporting on the movie is another way that we can add to the idea that Cocaine Bear represents COVID and our experience with that. Allison, truly a pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist as always. Where can people find you, follow you, read your words, all that good stuff?
Yeah, I have a weekly podcast called Just Between Us that has its main episodes on Wednesdays and then also like a fun Reddit exploration episode on Mondays. And then you can check out my book, Overthinking About You, Navigating Romantic Relationships When You Have Anxiety, OCD, and or Depression, pretty much anywhere books are sold.
There you go. And is there a tweet or a work of media that you've been enjoying?
Oh, well, I found this tweet that I thought was just so lovely from Jack Kellil. And it said, "My mom started painting in her late 50s after never having done before. And this utterly distinct style has flown out of her. And it's taken some real convincing to make her believe that she's genuinely talented. And these are real art. And I just wanted to share them." And then he shared like four screenshots of like these really beautiful paintings. And the tweet's like blown up. It has like over almost like 290,000 likes. And so I just like to imagine this like woman seeing her paintings getting the credit that they deserve. It brings me joy.
Amazing. That's Jamie Loftus, where can people find you? And is there a work of media you've been enjoying?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter still at Jamie Loftus Help, Instagram, Jamie Christ Superstar. Listen to the Bechdel cast. Listen to any podcast you want, really. And then buy Raw Dog, my book about hot dogs, on May 23rd. You can pre-order it now. And you should.
Go do that. And you absolutely should right now.
It's very good.
Thanks.
It's so good.
Oh, yeah.
It's
you guys have both read it. Exciting. Yeah. And we just revealed like the hardcover art today. So I'm really excited about it. The tweet I am enjoying is from Jacob Oller at Jacob Oller, O-L-L-E-R. I don't know why Jacob was watching it seems like a silent film about whalers, but he posted some screenshots and captions it, "Whaling slang still goes," because it's like two whaling captains shaking hands and then they say, "Farewell, Captain, greasy luck." And I want to integrate that into my daily. That's my new email sign off. Greasy luck.
Greasy luck unto you. Yeah.
So and a very greasy luck to
mine
you.
Will be, if you have a problem with me, talk to my boss, the Pope, and we'll see how it goes.
Please sign all your emails like that.
Tweet I've been enjoying, Loan Afchen tweeted, 44-year-old guy at your work who says metric fuck ton. It's about a bear who does cocaine. Yeah, you heard that right. I just thought that was... Yeah. Love that guy who says metric fuck ton all the time. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Super producer Justin, what is a song that we think people might enjoy?
Well, this is a track that I thought was very touching and charming. This is a song by Illa J, which is Jay Dilla's younger brother.
Whoa.
It's a song called Maureen that's just an homage to their mother. And it's just very nice. And it's got a cool style where it's got like this boom bap, like soulful style. It kind of reminds me of old Kanye West before he turned into a fucking supervillain. Speaking of minions, my God. But yeah, but I love this track. It's got a lot of heart. And yeah, if you want to check this out, it's called Maureen by Illa J. And you can find that song in the footnotes.
Footnotes. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending. And we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, Oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.